This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we do the good, the bad, the dumb every single day. And a lot of it's kind of lighthearted, fun stories that highlight a good, a bad, and a dumb. And you can say that about Wild Card Weekend. There were six games, and there was some good, and there was some bad, and there was some dumb. And we're going to get to all of that. But unless you had a team that was on the losing end of things, man, was that not fun? I mean, it's six games. It was rolling along on Saturday. It was rolling along on Sunday. Look, and I was one at the beginning of all this. I'm like, I don't like adding teams. I don't need more playoff teams. Now I was afraid that it would be watered down postseason. I was fine with the way it was, and I knew why the NFL was going to do it. They had to make some concessions in their bargaining power to get an extra playoff team in. It means more playoff money for players. But I was worried that we would get some really bad football teams into the postseason. We ended up with some really entertaining games and some really fun storylines, even including Washington, who came into the playoffs with the worst record of any team. It's 7-9. Somebody had to win the NFC East. And then Taylor Heinicke produces a fantastic game that has everybody buzzing and sort of pushing Tom Brady to the back end as he wins yet another playoff game. But we had some dumb moments. We had some games where the coaching needed to have a real head check as to exactly what was going on with the decision-making in some games. And I'm looking at the Steelers, and I'm looking at the Tennessee Titans, who both had fourth down opportunities where, for whatever reason, the coaches, Mike Vrabel and Mike Tomlin, decided, yeah, I can't really go for it. And the ball was in a position to make a good gamble. We'll talk about that coming up. But we are down now to the divisional round. And we are going to see the Buffalo Bills host another game. Kansas City is going to return to action. Green Bay is going to return to action. We got a rematch in the NFC South between the Buccaneers and the Saints, where Tom Brady has never lost to a team three times in his career. And he will be up against that in the divisional round. But coming up, the last thing I saw is one of the worst things I saw as a fan and both as a football analyst. We'll talk about the Steelers' loss to the Browns, plus the other five games of action when we continue along. It is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue here on a Monday after a great weekend. Good wild card weekend. Good fun six games. Well, not all of them were fun, depending on how you look at it, but last night's game between the Steelers and the Browns really started off well, right? 28-0. The Steelers find themselves in a hole, and in the second half, got the game down to two scores. So they tried to make a valiant comeback, but this is the NFL. This isn't college football. I mean, look, if you have a very good college football team, you know, like, say, Alabama or Ohio State or something like that, and they find themselves down 28-0 in the first quarter, for whatever reason, they throw a pick six, they fumble the ball, ball goes over the quarterback's head on the first snap of the game, whatever. You know in the end that, you know, the talent disparity between a team like Alabama and like Louisiana Monroe is so great that eventually the Crimson Tide are going to just come back in that game and win. But that's not the NFL. 28-0 deficits, no matter when they are in a game, are just impossible to come from behind. It's just, they just are. And that's why we remember them when they happen. But the Steelers went after it in the second half. The problem is that you're asking just too much. You're asking for your defense to play just stellar football for the second half, and that's not where the Steelers were going. Eventually, the Browns were going to start moving the ball again. Eventually, they were going to make, you know, you've got paid guys on the Browns side of things looking at film and looking at pictures and going, look, this is what they're doing. Let's call one or two plays. All we need is one first down. Get the ball moving. Let's see what opens up. Let's see how they react to that. And that's all you needed. And when did that happen for Cleveland last night? When did they start moving the football? Immediately after Mike Tomlin gave up momentum in the game. It's a 12-point game. Remember, they're down 35-10 at halftime. They're down by four scores at halftime. And it's three touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions in order to make it four scores. They're down 25 points. And the Steelers come back and they score, then they make a stop, they score again, and they've got momentum in this game. And so what happens? They have 4th and 1 near midfield. And what do? They try to draw the Browns offsides. They take the delay of game penalty and they punt. Now, how many times have we seen the script written in sports where that's all you needed? And that's what the Browns did. They marched down the field and score a touchdown. And that was it. You cannot play a game in the second half of we score, they score, we score, they score, they score, we score. You have to be we score, we score, we score, we score, they never score in order to come back from a 25-point deficit. Mike Tomlin just handed momentum right back to Cleveland. Just said, here, take it. I don't trust my team to get 1 yard. Now, they can't run the ball. But you can't find a play call to get you 1 yard in a game where the entire momentum of the game had switched to Pittsburgh. Amazingly confident, marching down the field. The Browns' offense stagnant. Now, Tomlin can go on the podium after the end of the game and say, well, we thought we'd play a field position game. Our defense was playing so well. But you know and I know, you cannot ask your defense to do what the Steelers' defense did in the second half over and over and over again. You can't look when you have all things being equal, right? In any offensive play in football, all things being equal, the offense has the advantage. They know where they're going and you're trying to guess what they're going to do. So when receivers run routes, they know exactly where they're going and you just have to follow suit and hope that you guess right or you're a better athlete and you can get to the ball quicker, whatever, all the variables that come into play in an offense versus defense situation. You're gonna trust that your defense is gonna do everything perfect for 60 minutes, you know, actually 30 minutes of football since you're giving them in the second half. You're gonna ask them to do that the entire way. That at no point can the Browns, you can't afford to have the Browns get a first down. You can't afford to get them have any more. You can't afford to have them kick a field goal in the game. So Tomlin is basically making the choice that I would rather punt the ball and hand it to Cleveland and hopes my defense once again rolls the dice and gets a 3 and out than try to get 1 yard and keep the momentum of this football game. It's the dumbest decision I had seen all night. But it wasn't the dumbest decision this weekend because Mike Vrabel did the same exact thing on Sunday. He had 4th down. He was at the Baltimore 40. Which is just too far for Steven Goskowski to kick a field goal, but punting, yeah, you got to really pin it inside the 5. But he's down 4. What does he do? He punts as well on 4th and short. I don't understand it. Listen, I don't get paid to be an NFL head coach, but I've watched enough of these games to know. Why are these coaches punting when they have the ball near midfield or just inside the opponent's territory? Absolutely, Tomlin should have punted that ball away. It was 4th and 1 at their own 20. Because like I said, you can't give up a field goal, right? But if you believe that your defense can get a 3 and out there, why don't you believe your defense can get a 3 and out here when you have the ball? I mean, if that's the game plan, and the game plan, again, in the Titans game, you almost can understand it. It's a 4-point game. If you pin the Ravens, if you get them to stop, maybe you play a little bit of field position. I didn't like the call. I thought it was terrible, but at the same time, it's a little bit understandable. You're in a manageable game. The Steelers were not in a manageable game. That is still a 12-point game. I know that's going into the fourth quarter, but you're still, again, asking your defense to pitch another quarter shutout while you manage to try to get 2 scores on the board. And you need 2 touchdowns. You don't need a field goal. You have to get 2 touchdowns. And instead, you go, here you go, Cleveland. Take your shot at it. And again, because, again, the Browns aren't playing passive. It's still a lot of football to play. So they're going to throw the ball a little bit. They're going to run the ball a little bit. They're going to mix up their offensive plays. It's not like late in the game where you punt it away and the other team is trying to run out the clock. So they run basic running plays to the line of scrimmage. The Browns are going to try to mix it up and say, look, what can we do against what your defense is giving us? And eventually we'll figure it out. And that's what they did. But Vrabel and Tomlin, again, I don't know if it's meeting the media, like if it fails and it's miserable, like if they didn't get the fourth down and the Browns just march a few yards down the field and kick a field goal to even extend the lead to 15 now, and still you're kind of pushing a bit. If that had occurred, in the same thing as the Ravens, went down and got some points. Even in that situation, You're answering, okay, yeah, we took a gamble, we didn't get it, it kind of cost us an opportunity. Would you rather make a statement on the podium that, yeah, I believed my team could get 1 yard? I'm sorry, I believe they could get 1 yard in that situation. We had all the momentum in the game. I believed we could get 1 yard. We didn't, and we paid the price for it, but I thought we could. Rather than, yeah, we punted, I tried to draw them off sides, I then had fourth and six, punted again. You know, we didn't punt the first time, but punt. And you know what? Well, it played out the way it played out. No other team of all the losses that happened this weekend, and I'm talking, you know, Indianapolis, talking Seahawks, talking even Washington, there was no team that lost this weekend where there was so much so much question marks about where a team is heading than Pittsburgh. Seattle's not moving on from Russell Wilson. Indianapolis will have a quarterback decision, yes, but that's still a good team. That's still a team that's got a good defense. They'll find a signal caller. Phillip Rivers doesn't come back. Washington's got decisions they've got to make. They're a 7-9 football team. But for a Steeler team that went 11-0, they've got decisions on free agency. They got a decision. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's going to have to make a decision whether he wants to go through this again. And look at the division. That Browns team didn't practice. That Browns team had no head coach on the sidelines. And they came out and roared to that kind of win. That division is tough. The Ravens went on the road and beat the Titans. The Bengals with Joe Burrow is starting to build something. I'm telling you, no team is leaving the postseason with more question marks about their future, about where they're going to be, than the Steelers. The Steelers could be a team, if Ben Roethlisberger decides to retire, they could be a top 10 pick in the 2022 draft.
Didn't that first quarter kind of have a Super Bowl 49 feel
to
it?
Yeah, very much. Right off the bat, that's exactly what happened to the Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the game and you look at the box score, Steelers won the second half.
Yeah.
But when you spot 28 opening the game, you can't come back.
You can't come back. In the NFL, you cannot come back against that. I mean, again.
Especially in the playoffs.
It's just too hard. You're asking for, you know, we remember when it happens. That's why they're so rare, because we can remember certain playoff performances like the Buffalo Bills against the Houston Oilers. We remember those gigantic comebacks because they're very rare. They don't happen very often. Four scores. And again, if it's 28-0 in the first quarter and the Steelers, got 17 in the second quarter and shut the Browns out, but that was still a four score game going into the second half.
Yeah.
You're not overcoming that. But if you have an opportunity to overcome that, you don't punt on fourth and one. You've got to go for it. You've got to treat every possession as saying, we got to get points.
It's that old saying, right? You got to treat it like it's your last.
Right.
And you're not going to get the ball back. I mean, I know you know, there's plenty of time left for you to get the ball back, but you got to go with the mentality, we're not going to get the ball back. We got to make the most of it right now.
I understand the flip side of the argument, right? It was just going into the fourth quarter. Right. It was like wasn't like it was late in the game, but it doesn't matter. You're down 12, meaning you got to put two touchdowns on the board to their zero. You've got to get two possessions that score to their, and you're not guaranteed to score a touchdown. I mean, maybe it's fourth and seven and you got to kick a field goal and say, all right, we got to get the ball again. But at least you've got to keep momentum of the football game. That was the key to me. It wasn't the fact that I didn't know the Browns were going to score. The Browns could have gone 3-and-out, right? They'd gone 3-and-out all second half. But it was the momentum. It was the Browns going, okay, cool. They didn't score. We got them. They're punting. And that's all they needed. They had a comfortable lead. And good for Cleveland, a team that hadn't won a playoff game since 95. Good for them. Good for them. And they did it against a division rival that had owned them forever and ever and ever. That was a good win for them. You know what? they play this loose and free, they might give Kansas City a scare. I don't think they beat the Chiefs, but they might give them a scare in the playoffs. That's all you need to do. All right, we'll talk more about the games, including the Bucks win. We got the Rams advancing with a quarterback issue. All of that coming up. It is Wake Up Call. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, or 800-224-2004. So we continue at Sports Map Radio.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, a weak battery can leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. One of the things that I really hope that if you listen to this show that you understand is two things. One, when I discuss the Steelers, I am a fan, but I am trying to do it as analytically as possible, as sort of saying, look, this is what I see, not just coming at it with pure emotion, but coming at it as with, I would have said the same thing about Mike Tomlin going for it on fourth down if I was a Browns fan, if I was a Bengals fan, if I was a Titans fan. I would have absolutely gone through the roof when I saw Mike Vrabel do it as a Titans fan, but analytically, yeah, there's a little bit of sense that goes to it, except I just think the coaches need to be more bold. I mean, the conservative nature of what they're trying to do is just, you just see it not work out time and time again. The one thing about this weekend, though, I found, for the most part, I found most of these games really entertaining and just a blast to watch. I thought the Bills-Colts game was great. I like Buffalo. I thought they were the best team coming into this. Even though Kansas City is still the AFC, you know, division, you know, I mean, the conference champs and 14-2, I thought the Bills were playing great, but the Bills got a little bit of a scare in this one. I mean, kind of had to rally a touch to kind of beat the Colts and put them away. And I thought that was an entertaining game. The Rams and the Seahawks game, I mean, you want to talk about a team that is going to carry, a defense is going to carry them as far as they're going to go. That's the Rams right now. Jared Goff with a busted thumb had to come in and replace Wolford in that game. I mean, you're asking a guy who had just had, an operation on his thumb to come into a playoff game. The Rams defense did the rest, just took care of the rest. And the Buccaneers, Tom Brady at 43, throws two touchdowns. He gives the Buccaneers their first playoff win in forever. And all anybody can talk about is Taylor Heinicke. That's all anybody was talking about on Twitter Saturday night, was this Taylor Heinicke guy who was the backup quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL. Played at Old Dominion. We now know more about him because everybody went, what? Who? Why is he playing so well? 306 yards passing, a touchdown run that was incredible. Highlight of the game, despite the fact that Washington lost. I mean, can you imagine anybody in the run of the postseason upend a literal, we've never heard of you before, and you upended Tom Brady's playoff story? I can't remember one. Maybe there is one, but I can't remember it. I mean, 43-year-old quarterback goes to a new team, leads them to the postseason, and leads them to a postseason win. I know they played Washington, but a playoff win's a playoff win. He's still doing amazing things, and Taylor Heinicke was the story of the game. And to be honest with you, for a guy that didn't have a dog in the fight, I rather enjoyed Taylor Heinicke's amazing performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought it was remarkable. And it shows you time and time again how in this league, you just never know. There's no formula for this. We can talk about all we want. Trevor Lawrence coming into this league, number one overall pick, franchise-built quarterback. But sometimes you get a kid like Taylor Heinicke. Oh, I shouldn't say kid. He's 27. A guy like Taylor Heinicke who takes a moment, plays well, shows he can play in the NFL at least for one game. And sometimes a guy with all of the resume that you'd want coming out of college never makes it. Can't do it. Out of the league, lickety-split. Now, is Heinicke the answer for Washington going forward? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to jump up and down over one game and make a career out of it. I mean, the the NFL history books are filled with one-hit wonders. We'll see. But I do know this. The Buccaneers are moving on. And for a Tampa Bay team that had not been in the postseason since 2007, this has been everything you could have asked for. Yeah, there were some rough spots. Who cares? Yeah, there were moments where everybody was wondering if Brady and Bruce Arians were on the same page. So what? Yes, they played a team that didn't have a losing record in Washington that did go to a quarterback we never heard of before, and not Alex Smith, who couldn't play in the game because he was hurt. But it doesn't matter. Brady at 43 is continuing to win in the postseason. And he's going up against the Saints team, has already beaten them twice. Brady has not lost to a team three times at any point in his career in a season. Now, I'll be honest with you, this is the first time for everything, and I still think the Saints are going to win that game. But that was a fun game on Saturday night. More fun than what we got last night from the Steelers and the Browns. The only game that really went accordingly the way everybody thought it was going to, and if there was a game to kind of skip and maybe do something else, get off the couch for a bit, it was the Saints Bears.
Yeah.
That was 21-9. I don't think anybody thought the Bears were going to be in this game. They weren't in this game. And that was the one game that really didn't have an element of, oh, hang around because you never know what's going to happen in this one. It had no feeling of that at all.
But it wasn't even an entertaining 21-9.
No, it wasn't. I mean,
it was just a run of the mill, like, yeah, you know, there's a football game on.
Yeah, it was like 7-3 at halftime. Yeah. And it was like, then it got to be 14-3. And then the Saints just kind of pulled away. And that was it. No, that's all you needed.
That's what I said to you before
late
the show.
Late touchdown for the Bears. Like, with time expired.
You know, before the show, I said, you know, when we do the, you know, what games to watch, we're pretty good.
Yeah, we are.
We know what we're talking about.
And
we said Saints-Bears, like, you know what? I mean, if you got stuff to do around the house or you just want to make the missus happy, this is the one to miss.
Yeah.
And we were right.
And the Ravens-Titans game, to watch that one,
yeah.
I mean, just... To see Lamar Jackson worth every second that you have watching that one.
Yeah, there was a little bit of revenge in it.
Oh, no doubt. Dancing on this Titans logo. That was pretty fancy.
I mean, that run, though.
The run was amazing.
54 yards or something like that?
Touchdown. Oh, for the touchdown, it was 48.
48?
Yeah, 48. But again, you don't see running backs break off for 48-yard touchdown. He's like scampering down the field. Yeah. He had it covered in a blink of an eye.
But it's just the speed.
It
looked like I was like at one point, you know, early in the run, you're like, oh, okay, he's going to get down. You know, he got a nice 10-yard run, and then he just threw it into that next gear that you don't ever see in a quarterback.
Exactly. You know what? Listen, for those of you out there who kind of rip the media. Here's one place where you could rip the media. I was sick and tired all week leading into the game. And being from Nashville, we, you know, a lot of local emphasis on this. I was sick and tired of hearing Lamar Jackson 0-2 in playoff appearances. 0-2? It's not like he was 0-20 in playoff. He had two losses early in his career at 24 years old. I'm supposed to think that this is some sort of crime. Like, this is some sort of deficiency in his game?
Yeah, he hasn't reached Andy Dalton status yet.
Plus, I mean, the one against the Chargers in his first year, yeah, he was a rookie and he was struggling. Remember, people thought Joe Flacco should get in the game, but he almost came back in that one.
Wasn't that, like, his third game ever?
Yeah, he took over the starting job. Remember, they were saying, well, Joe Flacco should come in, but Lamar, the offense was built for Jackson, right? It was the whole offense was built for a skill set Joe Flacco didn't have. And he almost came back and won that game. And then he was upset by the Titans. Big deal, right? So what? Sometimes you lose a game. Even when you're the MVP, sometimes you lose a game at home. Big deal. It's the NFL playoffs. Those were the only two defeats. A season in which he barely got a start and got in a playoff game, and then just being upset after a fantastic season, and he was the MVP. Big deal. Again, if he was 0-5, come at me with that. If he was 0-7, come after me at that. 0-2.
0-2.
Give me a break. God has got the monkey off his back.
He's terrible.
Wow. He really needs to win. The pressure's on.
He should just quit playing football.
He's younger than Joe Burrow, for crying out loud. He's going to be around for a long time. Oh, God bless the AFC North. All right, come back. We'll talk more about these games, including the Seahawks and their loss and what they have to do and who's back to the drawing board after leaving and exiting the playoffs early. It's all coming up. It's Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's a Wake Up Call here on Sportsnap Radio. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, so I said, look, there's no team in the NFL that I think has a more difficult offseason in terms of its future who lost on over the weekend than the Steelers, because I think Roethlisberger has to make a decision about whether or not he's going to retire or come back. He said many times, he's flirted with retirement many, many times. John Elway said it best when he retired by saying, I love Sundays, I just didn't like Monday through Saturday. Roethlisberger, that's how guys think, right, when you get to a certain age. It's like, look, everybody likes to play. Everybody loves the 3 hours of competitive football that you get to play every weekend. Do you want to get up in the morning? Do you want Monday ice baths? Do you want to feel like you can't get out of bed on a Tuesday and a Thursday and a Friday? You want to go to practice? You want to go through the whole off season again? You want to go through game film? You want to go through game meetings? All of that stuff to go through a season where you probably on the other end of it are not going to be hoisting a trophy? That's the decision you have to make. And for some guys, they can't give it up, like Tom Brady wants to play till he's 45. Great, because all of those things that I mentioned are something he's willing to do and wants to do and can't wait to do. But some quarterbacks, some football players in general, just get tired of it and say, that's enough. That's enough. I can't go through another 16-week grind, 16-game grind. And at the end of it, I may not have the team that is capable of winning. And Roethlisberger may be feeling that because there's a lot of questions on that team. But I think the most disappointing team that lost this weekend had been Seattle. Seattle was going up against a Rams team that didn't know who its quarterback was going to be before the game. And we all talked about how the Rams defense was tough. Yep, it was. But the Seahawks were a team that went 12-4. Russell Wilson was an MVP candidate. He's not going to win the MVP, but he's an MVP candidate. You know, they split the regular season meeting with the Rams. They knew what they were getting into this game. Division rivals in the playoffs are tough. Now, home field advantage, there was no 12th man screaming and making it noisy for the Rams. But Russell Wilson didn't have a good game. Although that one touchdown pass he threw to DJ Metcalf, does he flick the ball out of his hands further than any quarterback in the league? I mean, no, not even like step back, winding up, throwing that deep pass. I mean, rolling out, running, looking downfield, and just flicking it 50 yards. Does anybody do that better in the league than Russell Wilson? Because that was remarkable. But the Rams defense, and we've seen this before, you get a defense that's playing lights out, and you don't need that much from your offense, they could be a threat. Now, the problem is they're playing the Packers. And nobody has scored more points per game than the Packers. The Packers are not the number one seed because they managed a good season with a balance of, all right, pretty good offense, pretty good defense. They have a spectacular offense. And their quarterback is going to win the MVP. So you are going to have the irresistible force, immovable object kind of thing in their matchup against the Packers. But for Pete Carroll, this has got to be massively disappointing to have a team like that and for them to come up short like they did in a game, again, where you had a quarterback issue with the Rams and Jared Goff had to come in and he has a busted thumb and they still find a way to hang on for a 10-point victory. Now, the Steelers may be coming out of going into the offseason with a lot of question marks. I know the Seahawks have got some issues too, but at least with the Seahawks, they know Russell Wilson is going to come back at you next year. I don't think you can say the same about Pittsburgh. Now, the Titans lose at home to the Ravens, and we said Friday, look, this is the game you should watch. If you were only forced to watch one of these six games, Baltimore-Tennessee should give you a great matchup. Good rivalry. Last two losses by the Ravens were hard to take by the Titans. Tennessee is a team that scores a lot of points. They got Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson is an e-ticket attraction. All of those things about the people have said about these two teams made it a worthwhile matchup. Now, the Titans lost, and there's really no shame in losing to a Ravens team that was 11-5, went into the postseason on a five-game win streak, right? It had all the things working for them. Yet they had some COVID issues that caused them some problems, but it's not how you get, it's not college football where you're evaluated for your body of work. Just get into the playoffs, get in as healthy as you can, get in rolling as you can, and let the rest ride itself. And that's what the Ravens did. Now, when you have a team like the Steelers, let's say, that started 11-0, or the Seahawks, who started really well and had a 12-4 season, you lose in the wild card round, you lose in this round, the season was for naught, right? I mean, I don't care, Pittsburgh fans or Seahawks fans or anybody that says, well, you know what, we had a good year, but, you know, you didn't have a good year. You lost. You didn't. What's the point of 16 regular season games if you get a 12-win season, or in the Steelers' case, a 12-win season, and you lose at home in the opening round of the playoffs? That's what single elimination does. When you are in baseball or basketball or hockey, where you are playing in a series, you can kind of see where the series is headed, right? You get a best of seven. You can kind of see our adjustments aren't working. They're taking advantage of this. You can kind of see it's a long play, right? To get four victories is a long play, even if it's a sweep. You watch it develop over time. You watch it develop over games. Single elimination, it can be having the center hike the ball over your head on the first play of the game, and that's the reason you lose. It can be your MVP-level quarterback throwing some interceptions and not finding a groove offensively against a tough defense and a team that is struggling to find somebody to play competently at quarterback. It can happen. You can lose these games. For everybody in the NFC East that said, I don't want my team in the playoffs. I want my team to pick in the top 15 of the draft. Have fun with that in April. But you know who had more fun? Even in a loss, people who root for Washington, because Taylor Heinicke was so fun to watch, and they almost pulled that off. You cannot pull an upset in the playoffs if you're not in the playoffs. Enjoy that 11th pick. Right? I would rather see my team fight in the playoffs and lose than pick, I don't know, 12th. This is what the playoffs can do. We think this league is for certain, right? We do. We always think that. Oh, that, you know, we said it about the Bears-Saints game. The Bears don't have a chance. And they didn't, but they could have. But some of these games, they're surprising and yet not surprising, because if you've followed this league a long time, this is what you get sometimes. Like last year when the Titans beat the Patriots, the Ravens and the Patriots en route to the AFC title game, it was surprising and fun, but at the same time, you knew this, what this league can do. The Browns beating the Steelers. You know how many people told me on social media through Facebook and whatnot that, oh, I have nothing to worry about because this is the Browns? Oh, these are the Browns. They're going to blow this. They're the Browns. Really? The Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Miles Garrett, brand new head coach who wasn't even there, Browns? I have to equate that talented football team with every miserable, horrible Browns team of the past just because they wear the same uniform? The Browns weren't blowing that game last night because they were Cleveland. That's a talented, cocky football team. And they were absolutely determined to leave that field of victory. They were not going to blow that game. Now, for the Titans, immediately afterwards, people, at least my friends here in Nashville, some of them didn't know what to feel. Losing to the Ravens, there's no shame in that. The Ravens were good, really good. Lamar Jackson is very good. But Derrick Henry had 40 yards. Ryan Tannehill couldn't do anything when the running game wasn't working. And this is a team that averaged over 31 points per game, and they were held to 13. They had a 10-0 lead in the game. If you play 16 games and you go 11-5 and you fight another team like they did against the Colts for the division and you lose in the first round of the playoffs, what does it say about your season? Should you be a fan base that is saying this is unacceptable? Or should you be a fan base that is just thankful to have been to the party in the first place? See, I am glad the Steelers have had difficult losses in the postseason this decade, because the alternative is to have no losses because they didn't get to the playoffs in this decade. Like Buffalo, like Cleveland, who went through these long droughts to finally get there. Tampa Bay, long drought to finally get there. The Steelers in the last decade lost to Tim Tebow in overtime on the first play of overtime, an 80-yard touchdown. They lost to a Jacksonville team who went up 21-0 and converted almost every third down they saw. They lost to this Browns team, trailing 35-10 at halftime. They lost to a Broncos team that was vulnerable with Peyton Manning not being able to throw 30 yards downfield when Toussaint fumbled early in the fourth quarter with the lead on the road. And they lost to the Patriots. And they got slaughtered by the Ravens. And each one of them stinks. It's awful. It's terrible. This is it. Tomlin's got to be fired. But wouldn't you rather have those conversations than, well, picking 12th, picking 13th, picking 9th? The Titans lost a really hard game, a hard game against a very good opponent, but their season was not a success. That team was built to win football games. And they lost. One of those teams had to lose. Some 11-5 team was going to lose from at Nashville yesterday. But either one of them should have said, unacceptable. Didn't matter who. And neither one of them should have fan bases that would have said, oh, it's okay. It's a good year. It's a good season. How is it a good season? You're only going through the season to see what the fruits of the tree are going to be at the end of the line. I guess you can enjoy a week 7 victory against Jacksonville. Was that fun? I mean, again, you play to get to the playoffs to see what happens, because anything can happen. I don't care how bad your football team is going in. You can play with 2 injured quarterbacks and pull off a victory on the road like the Rams did. You can take a guy no one has ever heard of and have a fighting chance against one of the legends of the game. And you could be a team that has been so inept, so terrible, so awful that they're an embarrassment at times and a laughingstock of all of sports, and they can go on the road to a division rival that has beaten them time and time and time and time again, including the last time they were in this dance, and you can go out there and lead 28-0 in the first quarter and go on to win and end their season. You can do it all if you just get there. So any fan base that says, I would rather not make the playoffs because my team is terrible, has not been paying attention to what this league continues to deliver every single year. And this weekend was a perfect example of it. Sure, Washington didn't win, but my God, did you see how much attention that kid was getting over Tom Brady? That's what it does. That's what it does. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2 N's. More thoughts on Wild Card Weekend. And plus, we got a national championship game tonight in Miami. We'll get to all of that on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Hey, this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules to enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. The national championship. More football tonight. Alabama and Ohio State in Miami.
Should be fun.
I think this could be really fun. Now, to me, it all depends on Justin Fields and his injury.
Yeah.
That has been kind of talked about and like, whoa, how hurt he's. I think he'll be fine. I don't know. I'm not him.
Here's a hypothetical for you.
Yep.
If Ohio State has a Cleveland Browns start, can Alabama come back?
Yeah, see, I don't think so. See, I would use that if Alabama was trailing 28-0 to, like, I don't know. I keep saying Chattanooga. I want to try to avoid them because I'm picking on them too much.
Nah, but people know what you're talking about.
But Vanderbilt, right?
There we go.
Then, you know, you could come back.
Because I know for a fact if Alabama was to go up 28-0 over Ohio State, turn the game off.
Yeah, game's over.
But I'm curious the other way around. If Ohio State, can Alabama make a game out of it?
I remember when I was younger, and the details of the game has sort of escaped me since it just came to the top of my head. But I remember it was like 87 when I was a young man, and how powerful Vinny Testaverde in Miami was. Remember them back? They went in to play a Penn State. And I thought, man, Miami's just going to roll. And Penn State's defense kept bogging Testaverde down, and they couldn't score enough. And they're hanging around. Penn State pulls off the upset. Now, I don't think Ohio State is like that typical feeling where it's Alabama so dominant that Ohio State, you know, really has to have a couple of lucky things go their way. I think Justin Fields and Ohio State can keep pace. The problem is it's 60 minutes, and you see this a lot where – we score, they score, we score, they score, they punt, we score, and then the game's over.
Yeah.
Or they turn it over, we score, and then it's just a little too much to overcome. Alabama can do that. I don't think Ohio State can do that, but we'll see. I think tonight should be a really, really fun game. God, I hope we're not talking about a blowout tomorrow. Wake up call.